From high atop Rocky Road in Moab, Utah, it's KZMU News. I'm Molly Marcello.
If it's a Tuesday at the Moab Museum, Tara Barish can be found near a table of pottery without provenance. As the curatorial and collections manager at the museum, Barish has set up an archaeology station. It's a pop-up of ancient pottery sherds collected somewhere around this region. These sherds were given to the museum, many of them most recently in storage boxes or garages, and dusted off and dropped here. Receiving artifacts like this, Barish says, is fairly common for museums. But this reporter thinks it might be a bit of a nightmare for archaeologists like Barish.
This is what we are up against at museums when people give us these boxes of artifacts that we can't do anything with it if we don't have its story.
It is illegal to collect artifacts from public lands. That includes anything made or used by humans, like arrowheads and flakes, pottery, basketry, and more. But people do it anyway. I watched Barish interact with visitors who brought some artifacts they found locally to her to interpret. And she explained calmly how, without the landscape, these pieces lose their context.
For instance, you might find one sherd on the ground when you're hiking. If it is in the presence of a lot of sherds, that says something. If it's by itself, that says something about whether it was carried and it was used in a camp versus being in a village where a lot of people were living and there were a lot of pots that were produced. There's so many things that we can learn about a group of people and how they were living and subsisting wherever they were, wherever that pottery is found, that you can't tell anymore once that pottery is gone.
There are some things that archaeologists can determine from these pottery sherds. Like, the painting on them might indicate which groups of people made them based on the designs. Or the shape might give clues to how it would have been used. Or its thickness could pinpoint the age of the pottery. Barish says these on display at the archaeology station could be from 1200, maybe 1100 CE.
It really varies in different cultures around the world, but in the Southwest, a lot of times a thicker sherd is associated with a later time period. So like Mesa Verde style pottery, which is the Cortez area, Cortez, Colorado. There's a lot of thicker pottery that was made in mass at a later point in time. Maybe they made them thicker because they were more robust, they wouldn't break as easily, or maybe they were just making them faster. We don't really know, but we can guess. And sometimes when they're thicker like that, and you can say, okay, the pottery from Mesa Verde is typically painted in this style with this type of paint and is this thickness, that helps you to identify that it's from that area just because it's typical of that area.
But that's about the extent of what archaeologists might be able to determine about a piece removed from its context on site.
They lose a lot of their magic when they are not on the land. You know, when you see these things, when you're hiking, and you're inclined to take them because they're really cool. They're special. They came from a person from a very long time ago, a tribe or a band of people, and the fact that it still exists on the land is really exciting. And you put it in your pocket and you go home, and within years you forget about it, and it's a little memento in a box. And what then? You know, what power does it have to do any good in that box, in your closet or under your bed? It no longer serves the purpose that it was meant to serve to that culture of people, to just stay on the land, to go back to the land, to tell a story to the ancestors and to the descendants of the people.
Barish wants the museum's archaeology station to open up a conversation, and she'd like folks not to be afraid to ask her questions.
We're hoping that anybody who has seen sherds in their adventuring and is curious about learning more, who wants to know, well, what was this and what did I find, and maybe you'll see something similar here, you can ask me a question about it. If you're wondering what to do when you find a sherd, you can ask me that too. Generally speaking, you want to leave it. You want to leave it where you find it. Take a lot of pictures. Tuck it under a tree nearby. That's way better than taking it away if you're really worried about the safety of that shirt. So the point of having this out is just to open a conversation, because, you know, a lot of people feel that it's taboo to even talk about having these things, but let's admit it, there's a lot of people that have a lot of these, even though it is illegal. And we want to open that conversation so that people can learn about it, and maybe it will hinder people from taking things off the land that tell a better story on the land.
You can visit Barish at the Archaeology Station Tuesdays between 11 and 2 p.m. throughout April and May at the Moab Museum. On Tuesday, the Arizona Supreme Court upheld an 1864 ban on nearly all abortions, except in situations when it's necessary to save the life of a pregnant person. It makes abortion a felony punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who performs one or helps someone obtain one. Alex Gonzalez, with our partners at the Public News Service, reports.
Arizona's near-total abortion ban will be one of the harshest in the country, along with Alabama, Mississippi, and Texas. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs says the law, written well before Arizona became a state or women had the right to vote, is placing lives in danger.
I've personally experienced the anguish of losing a pregnancy, and I know it's outrageous to have the government tell you that the best decision for your health or future could now be considered a crime.
On the social media platform X, Governor Hobbs described it as a dark day for Arizona. But anti-abortion advocates are celebrating a big win, even as some Republican lawmakers think the ban should be repealed. The Arizona Supreme Court has put its decision on hold for 14 days as additional constitutional challenges are cleared up. The ruling has rattled Democrats, including state senator, mother, and nurse practitioner Eva Birch. Just a couple weeks ago, Birch announced on the state Senate floor that she had undergone an abortion procedure. She contends Arizonans of any political affiliation don't want an abortion ban.
Somebody took care of me. Somebody gave me a procedure so that I wouldn't have to experience another miscarriage, the pain, the mess, the discomfort. And now we're talking about whether or not we should put that doctor in jail. This is outrageous.
In a statement, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays says as long as she's in office, no person or doctor will be prosecuted under what she calls a draconian law. Vice President Kamala Harris is set to visit the Grand Canyon State later this week to champion reproductive rights. And Arizona pro-choice advocates recently secured enough signatures for a ballot measure that could enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution. And I'm Alex Gonzalez.
Animal rights groups across the country are calling for felony-level penalties for a Wyomingite who recently captured and allegedly abused a wolf. The resident in the southwest part of the state has been charged $250 for keeping the wild wolf captive, but other details about the incident remain unclear. Emily Cohen with our partners at KHOL reports.
According to the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, Cody Roberts brought the wolf into his Daniel residence and later into a local establishment before killing the animal in early March. Wayne Pacelli, president of the Washington, D.C.-based Animal Wellness Action, has worked to make animal cruelty a felony in dozens of states. He says that Roberts, who has denied requests to comment, should face more prosecution under Wyoming state law.
Why have an anti-cruelty statute with strong penalties if you're not going to use it?
Pacelli's group also launched an online petition demanding further prosecution of Roberts. Teton County-based organizations, Wyoming Wildlife Advocates, and Wyoming Untrapped have also sent letters to Sublette County officials urging further prosecution. More details about the incident have yet to come out. Game and Fish has denied media requests for interviews, and KHOL's email questions and public records requests have gone unanswered.
Emily Cohen reporting with our partners at KHOL in Jackson, Wyoming. And that's your KZMU News, grassroots community-powered journalism, weekdays on the airwaves at noon and 6 p.m. You can also find KZMU News anytime online at kzmu.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.